Art Powers.
Yes, yes, the one and only.
The one and only.
Good morning. Good morning, Art. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
Thanks for being here.
Listen to Brad for, seems like 100 years, but it's only 42, but I'm really happy to be here with
you. Well, 42 on DRC.
On DRC.
Yeah, then he was on with Bob Steele years ago. He's on Channel 3.
Bob Steele.
He was on with Channel 3 with John Sablone, and he did the Milk Show, the Sock Hops. He did the What's Happening show. He did the Connecticut Band City. Oh, yeah. I mean, people, that's the first thing that people think of when they, the storied career that you've had in broadcasting, Brad.
He's hysterical.
But you, so are you.
Not hysterical.
So
hysterical.
Are you, sir.
He's hysterical.
So are you, Art. So let's talk first and foremost about politics in Connecticut with Republicans and Democrats and so on and so forth. How, when you were in, let's go back to your time in the state legislature. When you were in serving the public in the Capitol, what were the relationships like that you had with people across the aisle? First and foremost, as a Democrat, because you're a Democrat.
Right. Democrat.
Describe your relationship that you had with your colleagues on the other side of the political aisle.
We were very friendly. When I was in the legislature, I think it was the...
what year?
58 session.
1958.
Yeah, and the governor was Abe Ribicoff. No, who was the governor then? It was Abe Ribicoff.
Abe Ribicoff.
Abe Ribicoff. Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Ribicoff, yes.
And I sat in the aisle right across, just directly across from the Republicans. The Democrats had a one-vote majority.
Oh.
And we had to be there every day.
Yeah.
I didn't miss a session. And we were told we'd better be there because sometimes the legislation depended upon one vote. I got along, most of us got along together fine with the opposition. In fact, the funny story is that we were voting on the governor's budget, and the night before, the Fish and Game Committee had their annual outing, and one of the Democrats, I think, maybe had a little bit too much to drink. and he was not there. And the governor sent the state police down to get him, for the vote. In the meantime, they were debating, and then we were waiting and waiting, and when they keep talking?
A filibuster.
A filibuster. Yeah. Went on and on, and finally the Republican minority leader got up and said, "Would the Democrats like to have a recess until the vote gets here?" And everyone applauded, and so they had a recess, and our vote came in, and he walked into the legislature, and the whole legislature stood up and applauded him.
Look,
and he looked green. He did not look well. But,
wow.
We got the vote there.
Talk to me, though, about the relationships were going on there.
The relationships really were fine. You know, you would think with a one-vote majority, there'd be scrapping going on.
A lot of contention, yeah. Yeah. You would think that, yeah.
But it wasn't that way. It was so different then. I mean, you could have a real nasty debate, and, you know, when it was all over, you would go upstairs and have a cup of coffee or beer or something like that. Everyone was friendly. And it was fun being there. I had to leave just after that one term to run for first selectman of Berlin. And I really missed the legislature. I loved it. The people up there were wonderful.
Yeah, the camaraderie.
Yeah, sure was. It was a wonderful time.
It's different today, isn't it?
It's so different today. Well, and they fight and they bear grudges. You know, it's terrible.
Yeah, it is. There's a great book. It's called Tipper and the Gipper. It's about Tip O'Neill,
right,
and Ronald Reagan and how they would go at it, you know, during in session. And then the very same afternoon that they're out playing golf together.
Right.
And then they and their wives are dining, are having wonderful dinners filled with laughs and great conversations. And then the very next day, they're at each other's throats again.
Yeah.
They knew the line in the sand and where it was, and that you can have philosophical differences, but it's nothing personal. Where today, there's that gray area. That line of the sand has been blurred, and people go for the jugular, not just necessarily during their time on the campaign trail against their opponent, but even after when they're already in office and they're up at the Capitol. How do you what is your opinion when you know, when you see that going on in today's day in politics, and you just remember the good times when everybody got along?
Well, it's just an unhappy situation, and it's, I don't know how it started, but it's been continuing.
Yeah.
And it's too bad, because politics should be, you know, parties against party, fine. But it should be something that people look up to and not say, what are they doing today? You know, this, it's just today, it's just different. And I suppose it's because generations have gone by and then philosophies have changed.
Social media. Yeah.
Yeah, social media has really got into politics much more so than, you remember that, Brad.
But, oh, please. Do I ever.
But, yeah. It's. I love politics, but I don't love some of the things that are going on today.
You know what my friend just brought up about Ronald Reagan, how they used to get along and so on and so forth. When he was shot, and you know, we almost lost him. But he did survive. Who do you think was the first one in to see him?
Obviously. Go ahead.
Who do you think?
With Ronald Reagan?
When it was Ronald Reagan, and he was in the House, he was running the Democratic side, and he loved Ronald Reagan, and they used to battle just as... Just as we said here.
Tell me, because my memory isn't that good.
Massachusetts. Who was the...
No, Kennedy.
No, it wasn't Kennedy.
In Massachusetts.
But it was the...
Tip O'Neill.
There it is.
Yeah,
there
Tip
it
O'Neill.
Is. You just hit a home run.
Right.
Tip O'Neill went in to see him and actually broke down and cried.
Wow. Yeah.
That's the way it was.
Well, I had a lot of fun. You know, when I, Ella Grasso, who I loved, but when I ran against Ella for the nomination for Congress, and I was on WTIC, we had a debate, and I was on the mic. And she was sitting next to me, just, and I'm talking, and I look down, and there was Ella, right down, almost on the floor, looking up at me. She was trying to confuse me, and it was. I look back, and I used to kid her about it afterwards, but she said, "I was going to get you off that microphone." She said,
"So it was a primary, because you're right."
Yeah, we never really got to a primary; it didn't go with that far. And I was saying, you know, Ella Grasso and John Bailey, who was the not only the state chairman then, but the national chairman of the Democratic Party. I said, she's been handpicked, and, you know, it's just a political thing, and she didn't like that, and she, but afterwards, you know, I, in the campaign, she, I was up in New England, Litchfield County debating her, and after the debate, I had a flat tire, and she came over and stopped, and she couldn't have been nicer, and she wanted to be so helpful.
Aww.
And she was a wonderful person. People said she had... You know, she used to swear, but I never heard a vulgar word come out of her mouth. She used a few swear words, but they weren't what you hear today.
Art, have you ever been to any national political conventions or presidential inaugurations?
I've been to four national conventions.
Wow.
The big one was in Chicago. And I was a delegate to that.
Really?
That was some, to, you know, was to be remembered.
Was that the
forever.
One that Ribicoff was at?
Yes. Yeah, when Ribicoff
that's right.
Got up and really made a speech that was not loved by the Republicans. But he, Ribicoff and you met everyone. I tell you, one of the, Hubert Humphrey, I met him several times, and he was the nicest man I've ever met. Just a wonderful, wonderful person. And, you know, he lost that election. But, and I went to New York, to Miami. What's the one in New Jersey? The place in New Jersey?
In Atlantic City?
Atlantic City. and then also in Chicago.
What about presidential inaugurations?
I went to Jack Kennedy's inauguration.
You did? Whoa.
Yep. And I met Jack Kennedy. my mother-in-law at the time was, her name was Maloney, and her husband was Francis Maloney from Meredith, United States Senator. And he was very close to Jack Kennedy. And Jack Kennedy wrote a book, While England Slept. And he gave that book to Senator Maloney to look it over and determine, you know, if changes should be made and so on. And he came, Kennedy came into Meriden. He had run in a primary for vice president against Kiefauer. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
And
Estes Kiefauer.
Yes, and Estes beat him. And that was perhaps the best thing that ever happened to Jack Kennedy. But because Kennedy went on from there. But we sat and talked with Kennedy. And then some years later, talk about meeting presidents and people like that. Tom Dodd, whose son is Chris Dodd. Tom was the United States Senator and a very good one. And I got very close to him. I used to go to his house on Sunday noons and mornings, and we'd talk.
Yeah.
And
all right, we have to take a quick break.
Okay.
And then when
I'll bring it up.
I want to hear that. And I also want to go talk a little bit more about the Democrat Party and how we'll compare it and contrast from the time that you were in and how the changes that the Democrat Party has kind of gone through as well. Art Powers, former mayor of Berlin, 20 years serving as mayor of Berlin. Also, he was the former commissioner of the Department of Transportation, as well as a legislator. He worked up, he was elected into the House of Representatives back in the late 1958. Art Powers, it's great to be here, have you joining us this morning. Give me an example. Like when people say, and you've heard this, I know you have, probably since day one, when they say all politics is local. It's one of the oldest sayings around. I know you've heard it.
I actually believe it.
But what, I was going to say, define that. What does it mean to you, Art?
Well, I think all politics is local, that you treat people as you would your neighbor. It's not just something where you debate someone who's in a other party and they're talking about the national things and things that are going on, but actually it's local because you're talking to your friends and people in your community. And it should be something that they can all understand. And
that the consequences will affect you on a personal level.
On a personal level, right. In politics, I always felt that if you have 51% of the vote, you're in very good shape. If you have 49%, you're in bad shape.
I want to talk about your tenure for 20 years as mayor of Berlin. But before I do that, really quickly in a minute or two, talk about when you were the commissioner of the Department of Transportation.
Well, I was commissioner for 2.5 years. I was appointed by Ella Grasso. I had been previously president of the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities. And I worked with Ella. I was very careful not to offend the governor, and she appreciated it. I think that's the reason she appointed me as commissioner. And I had 2.5 years there, and I enjoyed it for the most part.
After that was 2.5 years, because then you decided to run for mayor of Berlin.
Well, I ran again, but I did not win, unfortunately.
Oh.
But it was, you know, I'd been there 20 years, and it was time for a change. I didn't have a real problem with that. But I've been active in politics for some time since.
So tell me about your tenure as mayor of Berlin for so long. I mean,
well, we started off in Berlin. It was just a Connecticut small town. The politicians, there was nothing new going on. You know, everything was just fine. And when I was elected, I decided we're going to make some changes. And what we did was, first of all, we worked hard to get more commercial stuff in town, which we were successful in doing. and we made changes. We built a new town hall. I built three new schools.
Wow.
We brought, as I said, some commercial people. Emhart was the biggest one. We brought them into town. And federal money was available then, and state money. So we had a lot of money to work with, and we applied for every nickel we could get. We built a golf course, Timberland, which is one of the finest golf courses in the state of Connecticut, and maybe nationally. But also... football field with Sage Park was something new.
But we
combined it with new things for the community as well as.
What are you most proud of? Is there a project or some, or an accomplishment as during your tenure as your 20-year tenure as mayor of Berlin?
It's hard to say. I just looking back, it was such a wonderful 20 years in the town. It's just, it went miles and miles ahead of where they were, and the people were happy. And if we had a surplus one year, I wouldn't lower the taxes. I'd just leave it there. And then the next year, if we needed the surplus, we could balance the budget. So rather than having an up and down system over the years on budgets and taxes, it was kind of just a smooth area, and people never got really mad if taxes went up a mill or two. And then we'd, I never dropped the taxes, but always kept a balanced growth in our community without spending an awful lot of money one year and not the next.
When you see and hear about your party now, about the Democrats, you were a member of the party. You still are a member of the party, but when you were active in politics, you think of the old blue dog Democrats, the old, for the working man, the blue collar Democrats, the Kennedy Democrats, as you referenced Jack Kennedy earlier, in attending his inauguration and all of that. And
I just wanted to interrupt you and say I also met Harry Truman.
Oh, he one of my favorite guys.
Harry Truman.
He dropped the bomb, dropped two of them, actually.
I just wanted to say that, and I had an opportunity to talk to him, and we were in Hartford, and he was upstairs at one of the hotels, and there were a crowd there, and everyone was so hushed, and he's sitting there with in his vest, and he... he looked up and said, he didn't like the noise, and he just would speak his mind.
Yeah.
But it was so wonderful meeting him, and Tom Dodd wrote him a letter, Senator Dodd, for me, and we to get an autographed picture, which I have of his. And in the letter that he wrote with the picture, he said, I hope this picture does not bring Art Powers any bad luck. I'd love to get that letter, you know. But I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No. I mean, that's a great story. Yeah. Wow. Truman was, I mean, how old were you when you met Truman?
I'd like to say I was 10 years old, yeah. But I was probably... I don't know. I was in the 40s.
But it's okay. So really similar then. The old Truman Democrats and the Kennedy Democrats were more to the baby boomer generation. When you were a part of that as an elected official, and then in modern day, in our present day, you see how much far to the left that your party has gone to, where they're actually trying to squeeze out the old blue dog Democrats.
I don't think it's the whole party that's gone. We have a liberal element in the party. But that's I still maintain the moderates in the Democratic Party are still leading. But we've got some very liberal people, and you know there are four or five of them running for president right now or for the nomination.
Well, it might be more than four or five. But
There may be more, but of course I'm a Democrat, and you're probably a Republican, having been in the legislature yourself. But. I don't believe the Democratic Party has gone so far to the left that in extreme change. But there are still the Joe Bidens and people like that who will consider moderates, and they are very active.
And
in the
progressives
party.
Try to challenge him and say that he's old school and that he's kind of left the party, and the party is leaving him in the wind. We got to take another break. Can you stay just a few more minutes after?
Sure.
Wonderful. Brad Davis and Gary Byron, our special guest is Art Powers. He's the 20-year former mayor of the town of Berlin. He was a former commissioner for the Department of Transportation, also spent a term in the Connecticut legislature in the House of Representatives back in the late 50s. We're talking all things politics, and we compared and contrasted some of the times of yesteryear and today and You know, we're talking about bipartisanship now. I mean, how essential is it to be able, whether you're in the majority party or the minority party, obviously you want to be in the majority, you hold all the cards, but how important or significant, maybe is the better word,
it's very significant
to be bipartisan?
When I ran for first selectman, which is now mayor, it's the same thing, but they hadn't, a Democrat hadn't won there in 50 years. Uh-huh. And people laughed. They just said, you know, you're not going to beat the Republicans. But when I won, it was one of those years where we just had a strong campaign and the Republicans didn't work that hard and I got elected. But one of my, the way it was set up, we had an executive board then. No council, it was an executive board, a mayor and two deputies.
Yeah.
And I had the majority, so I had it was two Democrats and one Republican. And we worked together. We just got along so well. And finally, when my Republican member of the executive board he decided not to run again, his name is Hop Caron, a wonderful guy, worked at Fafner Bearing for years. He put an article in the paper endorsing me for the next election. And needless to say, the Republicans were furious. But that was the relationship that we had together. And we just, we had a Board of Finance, and some of the members of the Board of Finance were very conservative. Others were more liberal. And we worked and we managed to get all these things done in the community.
Did you ever ask for input or take into the consideration the opposing opinions and viewpoints?
Always.
Yeah.
Always. We always sat and talked it over, and we worked it out. If a compromise was necessary, we compromised. Oh. And it worked very well, and the people supported us, and we kept the taxes down, and the town grew. It was just a wonderful life there.
It's altogether different now.
Yes, it is. And I look at it, and it makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, different, Brad, but it's not necessarily better. You know?
Oh, I don't mean it's better. No, not at all.
Right.
Where do you think, what's the direction that our state is heading in? In your opinion, what does the future hold for the state of Connecticut?
You know, I haven't studied this much lately. What I fear is everything going into borrowing.
Bonding,
and we bond and bond and bond, and it goes like in
dangerous.
It's so dangerous, and that's why I worry. You know, they on the tolls. That's I know that's a big.
We've been fighting it.
Fight, I know you have. Frankly, I think tolls could work again, because when I was in politics early on, we had tolls in Connecticut.
Yeah. And if it, you didn't have 82 tolls though.
Well. Let's not get into the debate on it now. But what I'm saying, what happened then, there was a bad accident, one of the tolls in the Southern Connecticut.
And yeah, the INS.
Right. And so they,
Governor O'Neill was the governor at the time.
Right.
Where was that?
And Art Powers was also Commissioner of Transportation.
When that person ran into the toll booth, what town was that in?
I forget. It's southern, part of Southern Connecticut. And they had a state representative, a woman who was very strong, and she persuaded the legislature not to go on. But what I'm saying is, I know they're trying to come up with compromises on the tolls, but what I'm concerned about is that we keep borrowing money to take care of our highways and our bridges. You know, who's paying for it? Our children, our grandchildren will be paying for years. The bonding, I think, is just so It seems if you need money, you bond. I know in Berlin, we've had people, on the Republicans, and I hate to bring up politics that way again, but they bond on stuff that should be just in the regular budget. And it's like bonding on a truck for 15-year bond when the truck has a 7 or 8 year life.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Doesn't make any sense. You're passing on the expenses for a dead issue.
Yeah.
And but I think there's a way they can work around this whole thing, because I just can't see. Then our highways and bridges are so necessary.
You've got to keep something in perspective, though, Art, and that is back when you served, when the money was supposed to be dedicated to a certain fund would stay there, and it would be allocated and it would be utilized for true. That specific purpose.
I know where you're going.
This money now is being swished into the general fund.
Yeah, they've got to be very careful that when you say this money is going to be for highways and bridges, that it's not diverted to other things. I agree
and
with
therein
that
lies the problem, yeah.
That's a big problem.
Yeah, I
and
agree.
And there's got to be, the legislation's got to be very strong so that they can't do that.
So finally, and I'm enjoying all of our time with you, what's in store for you now? I mean, have you retired from politics? Where do you go moving forward?
I stay active in politics, at least peripherally. I go to a lot of meetings. I go to finance board meetings, council meetings. We have now a council and a board of finance, and it's a little different than it was. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, I've had my day in the sun, and I've had ups and downs. But I like to stay active in Berlin, and they, sometimes people listen to me, sometimes they don't.
Well, that's all of us, really.
But that keeps me active. I'm still working and have an insurance business, and I don't know how much longer I can keep it up. But
You look tremendous.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm just glad that you listen to us in the morning.
Oh, yes. So... it's been a ride, you know. Politics, it's a good ride or it's a bad ride, and I say for the most part it was a good ride.
Would you mind sharing, and you don't have to answer this, would you mind sharing your age?
Sharing it?
Yeah.
I'd like to, if you can have a few of my years, and I'll be, Brad can have a few, and I'm up there.
You're up there.
All right, well, 91.
91.
91 years old.
God bless
him. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. 91.
You've seen it all here.
You've
been in public service for most of your life, really. Yeah.
When I was a little boy in Berlin, I always say, I want to be first selectman, you know, and life went on, and all of a sudden, there I was. And it, you know, we used to get a lot of state and federal money, and that's how we got a lot of things done. Yeah. You know, that money isn't available
anymore.
Oh,
it's dried up.
Yeah, so it's not. And so I know that you're all Republicans here, but that's okay. the money, we in our town, the Republicans said, we don't want state or federal money. We, you know, there was that philosophy, we don't, you know, we'll take care of ourselves. But we got federal and state money. If, you know, if we didn't get it, some other town was going to get it. And as a result of it, we had a growth that was healthy, and the town could afford because we had the money coming in from state. You know, schools are all fit. You get 50% always state money in schools. And other programs, we got federal money, and it all worked out fine. So life goes on, and philosophies differ as we go along. But
you miss any of it, though?
Oh, yes, I miss it. But yeah. I stay active. I still get yelled at occasionally, and I still also yell at the others sometimes, but it's on a friendly basis.
Say, I got to tell you something. You mentioned about voting and that you're all Republicans. That might be true. However, and I speak for myself, that I have not just voted Republican. In fact, I'll never forget when I voted for Jack Kennedy.
Yeah.
As a Republican.
Yeah.
What's your opinion of when people cross political lines and vote for the opposition?
I have no problem
either
with
way.
That.
Either way, a Republican going Democrat and a Democrat, you know, voting for Republican.
I have no problem with that. You know, we have a chairman of the Board of Finance in Berlin who was a Republican, or was a Democrat, and he changed over to be Republican. And he's on the Finance Board, he's a Republican member. But he's been working very hard against the Republican administration in Berlin now because he doesn't feel they've been, doing what's right for the town of Berlin. Oh. And we have a few Democrats who say, oh, no, we don't want him because he was a Republican. I said, that doesn't make any difference in politics. People change opinions.
That's right.
And you don't want to condemn them for what happened in the past.
And that goes right back to the first topic, the first question I think we were discussing, and that was... how politics has changed from when you first entered it to more modern, where it's so polarizing, where before, many years ago, nobody really cared, you know?
No, it worked out. You know, when I went one, the Republicans in Berlin were 2-1 against the Democrats. And as I started a young Demo organization, and we knocked on doors and changed over voters. And then we got elected, and then eventually, you know, it was going from a Republican town to a Democratic town. Now the Republicans are in. So, you know, it goes back and forth.
Yeah.
And people change, and they have different opinions as time goes on. And it all works out for the best.
Mm.
It does.
And you have good feelings. You have a good vibe for the future of our country and the future of our state of Connecticut. And
well,
it's where we're heading in the right.
Wish I could have a better vibe, you know, but somehow in the long term it's going to work out.
And it always does.
Absolutely.
Art Powers.
I agree 100%.
Look at that. 91 years old, a life dedicated to public service. Former commissioner of the DOT, former member of the state legislature, started his political career in the late 50s, and a 20-year mayor of the town of Berlin. I can't thank you enough for joining Brad and I this morning.
Well, I really...
And I want to say to you that the gentleman who wanted you on this program, okay, was my partner. And he was so excited. And I said, "You're kidding." He says, "Nope, he's coming on."
I appreciate that.
Well, I know you two would have a lot in common, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You might get...
As I say, I listened to this guy when I had dark hair and a lot of it, you know?
Just because... And your show, you're different sides of the political aisle, but you know what? It's old school politics. And look at the two of you. You get along well. You guys could be best friends, you know?
That's the way it should be.
Well, amen to that.
I still have got a lot of good Republicans in Berlin who are very close friends and always will be.
How about even the Speaker of the House, Joe Arsimowicz,
is from Berlin.
Guy. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's done a good job.
Yeah, this is the last term, right? Second term of Speaker of the House.
Right, that's it.
Yeah, he's still coaching football.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Again,
I'm so glad. I'm just so glad that you, when you said to me... You know, I got so excited when you said to me that you'd like to invite him in here because to compare the different parties, and it was.
You remember a lot of the things that Art brings up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good times?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, it was fun because you go through 50, 60 years in politics, you just meet everybody. And the Republicans, the Democrats, nationally, statewide, locally, you have an opportunity to meet them all, and it's a wonderful...
But you also served in a time when there was no 24-hour news on cable television, nor were there anywhere near the social media and the internet that if you sneeze, and you sneeze in the wrong direction, it's up on social media, and... You know, they could paint you in a terrible light, even if you... They can take little sound bites and edit it and make you sound like a goofball.
I think locally, people can change a lot in how they vote. It goes year to year because it affects their own taxes.
Yeah.
And they see how things are done. Commercial stuff comes in, commercial stuff goes out. Schools grow. So, you know, so people can change. People in local politics usually aren't that strong.
But you used to not know what political affiliation your neighbor was. And now when you find that out because of Facebook and social media and so on and so forth, now all of a sudden the neighbor that you once got along with so well, now you're, oh my goodness, I can't believe you voted for that person or you're
well,
that party.
You know, when I got into it, originally the Republicans put me in. You know, because they controlled.
But that's my point. It was old school politics as opposed to nowadays where it's so polarizing more now than ever. Again, Art Powers, thank you so much for being with Brad and I this morning.